As I wrote in the mosaics, I want 2020 to be a year where I don't just see clearly, but I learn to pray. That's probably my greatest desire. And as you remember me in your prayers, I would love it if you would remember, just Lord, help Bonneville learn how to pray. Help them to experience your presence. I love what was repeated over and over in this song. Lord, I need you. If you want to learn how to pray, I want to learn how to pray. One of the things I've learned in these first couple of weeks is that I experience my need greater. Seems like that seems to be the first way he's trying to get my attention. Is that, yep, Greg, you need me. You really need me. I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. I'll actually start in verse 5 through 10 today. It'll be Matthew chapter 6, and I'll just be reading verses 5 through 10 here in just a moment. We all have passwords and access codes, and those codes are designed, those passwords are designed to protect what is of value to you. You don't just hand your passwords out to everyone, because then they have access to something that really matters to you. It signifies the value and importance. And if you've got the password, it means you belong there. It means you can go in and take a look at whatever's there, because that password says, okay, this is for you, and they let you in, whatever it is. The first time I learned about this sense of access and that not everybody gets access was as a kid. Our family went to something called Lair of the Bear. If you are an alumni of the University of California, they have a camp, Camp Gold and Camp Blue, and it's designed for alumni. And my dad went to UC Berkeley. That's okay. That's all right. Anyway, he went to Berkeley, and so he started taking our family to Lair of the Bear, Camp Gold. And then we had we have very close friends, the Hosepians and the Sarkeesians, and Dad said, why don't you join us to go camping every summer? And they said, well, we don't get to go. We didn't go to Berkeley. We didn't go to Davis. We didn't go to UCLA. And my dad's response was, it doesn't matter. You're with me. You're with me. And so Uncle Vartan, Uncle Sark, they brought their families, and we would enjoy all the great things about Lair of the Bear. But it would never fail that when we were all gathered together, sitting in these group tables, someone would look at Uncle Vartan or Uncle Sark or said, so what class are you? And they said, we didn't go. And the look on their face, you can see, it's that look, and you felt it in all sorts of circumstances, like, then what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And they're communicating, you don't belong here. It was so much fun to hear him say, oh, but we're with Vahak. We're with the Harutunians. So they had access because they were with us. Many of you know I used to work on Capitol Hill, and during the presidency of Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr. was the vice president. And one of my buddies said, hey, Greg, would you like to go into the Oval Office? It's like, you bet I'd like to go into the Oval Office. How are you going to pull that off? He said, well, don't worry, come. A friend of mine is George Bush's appointment secretary. It's like, really? Yeah, and as long as you're with me and I'm with her, we have access. And yep, I sat down in the chair. It was a little high for me. Ronald Reagan's a little taller than me. But I got to sit there. And no one came up to me to say, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. What are you doing here? Because we were with someone with access. Now, maybe you grew up this way, or maybe you've just experienced it in our church, but when we pray, we always finish the prayer before amen with what expression? Say it with me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And it's not like some secret password. It's not some code. It's actually, it's all about access. We come to God in prayer in Jesus' name, just like our family friends got to go to Lair of the Bear, just like I got to go into the Oval Office through no merit of my own. I got to go because I was with someone. We get to pray. Why? Because we're with Jesus. We are with Jesus. The great thing is he doesn't just give us access, he also gives us instruction in prayer. So I'm going to read, follow along with me, please, Matthew chapter 6. I'll begin in verse 5. Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we'll stop right there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. See, we get to come to God in the name of Jesus. And he teaches us how to pray. Now, I love it when people come up to me and they say, "Oh, Greg, you'll never guess who we met." We met one of my friends, I remember when he met Joe Montana. "I met Joe Montana." It's like, "Wow, did you really?" And in Boston, of course, everybody wanted to meet Tom Brady. And there was a man who worked with Coach Belichick whose children went to the Armenian school, so he was his child's teacher. It's like, "Oh, do you want to meet Tom Brady? Want to meet Tom?" I really didn't, honestly. But anyway, I think I would have enjoyed Montana a little bit more. And I love how Francis Chan puts it. He says, when someone tells him, "Oh, you met them? You talk with them? Cool. I talk to God." I mean, it was really fun meeting Derek Carr at Bad Buds. I even talked to him. But we talk to God. All those things that I read to the kids, we talk to the God who made the sea and the dry land, who made the sun and the moon, who made the fish and the birds, who made all the animals, all the trees, the fruit, who made human beings. We talk to him because we have access through Jesus Christ. We have access to Jesus Christ. See, Jesus says, pray like this. Starts out by saying, don't do what the pagans do. Don't try to get the attention. Let's get one thing straight. Prayer is not about me, and prayer is not about you. God wants prayer to be about him. Okay, he wants it to be about him. So it's not you walking around on street corners trying to get attention. Oh, wow, look at him pray. Oh, wow. It's not about you babbling all sorts of words or repeating it over and over and over again so somehow God might get your attention. See, what God wants is God wants to be the center of prayer. See, at that time, there was no question that God was the Holy One, that God was the Awesome One. In fact, carries forward this day. If you have any Jewish friends who practice their faith, they won't say God, or when they write God, I'll never forget my college roommate, my first roommate, he's from Chicago, and he goes, here, would you proofread my paper? And I can't remember, some philosophy paper. And he wrote G-D. It's like, is there something, and that was in the days of typewriters. Okay, yep. I said, is there something wrong with your O? Does it hit a dash instead of O? And he said, no, idiot. We don't write out God. We just put the letters. They would never say the anglicized version Jehovah or Yahweh. They would just write out the consonants because they didn't want to use the Lord's name in vain. They, very clear, God is great. So when Jesus says, our Father, there's a whole new universe that he invites us into. And I just want to urge you, when you go to prayer, that you slow down. That you slow down and remember who you're speaking with. Okay, if you have ever met someone of consequence, okay, well, sometimes it happens when you meet them and you just start babbling because you're so nervous and you're trying to make a good impression. It just, has it ever happened when you, anyway, it's happened to me more than once. Anyway, you just sort of lose composure and you start babbling. That would be appropriate in prayer, honestly. I'll never forget when I meet with friends who've just come to Christ and they realize they get to pray, they just start, and then they look at me and say, what am I supposed to say? I'm talking to God. What am I supposed to say? The first couple times, that's appropriate. But I think our temptation is to come into his presence and just, we are ready to just tell him everything. And I think we need to slow down. We need to realize that we are speaking to the living God, the Holy One, who dwells in inapproachable glory. Our Father who is in heaven. We come, we climb up on his knees like a papa, but we have to keep these two things in tension. Let's not get too familiar with God. He's not the big guy upstairs. He's not our buddy. He's our Abba, he is our daddy, but he is the Holy One. So I want us to just remember to slow down. He's our Father in heaven. And then that'll give you the opportunity to focus and adore him. To focus and adore him. Hallowed be thy name. It's not about candy. It's not about October 31st. Hallowed means to recognize as holy, distinguished, completely other. See, what Jesus is teaching us is that we want to approach God asking that his name, his character would be above all. Because when you talk about someone's name, particularly in the scriptures, it's about who they are, what they're like, what they do. And so we know that, you know, when we speak of the name of God, he's our creator. He's the Almighty. His very name, Yahweh, means the self-existing, unchanging one. He's the Holy One. He's the one who provides. See, if you just come in and start jabbering, you'll miss out on who you're talking to. We're talking to the one who is healer, the one who is peace, the one who offers himself as our shepherd, who promises to be present, who will judge. He is the first and the last. He is everything. And he lets us call him Father. We want to adore him. And so when he says, hallowed be your name, may your name be hallowed, Lord, we want everybody to know that you are as awesome as you really are. I know when I was getting married to Sosi, a group of people came from Fresno to Lebanon. Vaudeville Bernard was something else. He had ways of pulling things off. And so there are about 30 people who came to Anjar. And they met my wife, or my fiancé at the time. And I couldn't wait to introduce them to her, because I was pretty excited about her. And I just wanted everyone to meet her and say, this is Sosi. We've never heard that name before. Get used to it. I hope you will get used to it. Have you ever wanted to introduce someone to somebody else? Have you ever wanted to just make sure that they met them? I mean, you're seeing it in me with the men's retreat. Some of you have already met Ken because he came to my ordination 30 years ago. He's come to every installation. He shows up at all sorts of different things in our church. If you look at the program, you go, oh, I know that guy. See, I want you to know him. See, hallowed be your name is you praying, Lord, I want everybody to know how amazing you are. See, so slow down, focus, and just adore him. Just adore him. And then seek his desires and glory. See, Jesus repeatedly said, Father, I've come to bring you glory. He says, I've glorified the Father. When we say, your kingdom come, your will be done, we are inviting the rule of God in our lives here and now. Do you ever pray your kingdom come? It's an expression of surrender. It's whether you're on your knees or not. When you and I say, your kingdom come, your will be done, we're going down on our knees and open-handed, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. What you want, I'm going to choose that, even if I don't know what it is. See, you want his glory. You want his desires to be expressed. See, his rule, his will. See, Jesus is the king. Now, we just celebrated Christmas. He's come once. And that was pretty spectacular. We've been celebrating it ever since. Do you celebrate his coming? The next one? Do you pray your kingdom come with the anticipation that what we have and love here is going to end? Or are you sort of like me sometimes, like, well, that can wait a little bit. That can wait. Are you inviting his kingdom, or are you, whether you use words or not, hoping he delays? There is one reason to hope that he delays. There is one. You know what that is? That someone you love has yet to know Jesus. Someone you are praying for has yet to hallow his name. I think that's the only reason that any of us would hesitate to say, Lord, your kingdom come. Jesus, please return. Please return. It's all over the scripture. It's the last words of the book of Revelation. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. See, when you ask Jesus to come, right now you are enthroning him. You're saying what you want, Jesus, that's what I want. Jesus' ultimate desire is that there would be a new creation and a new earth where all would worship him. See, this week I'm going to ask that you hold your requests. What? God really doesn't want me to pray? Actually, I do want you to pray. I just don't want you to ask for anything. And I know you're thinking, seriously? No, I'm really serious. Because if verse 8 is true, do not be like those who just repeat their words. For your Father knows that you need what you need before you ask him. So even if you're going to come tonight seeking healing for someone, let your actions be your prayer. Let your presence be your prayer. And just slow down. Focus and adore him. And if you want to ask something, ask that his kingdom would come and his will would be done. Watch what happens to your praying if you will discipline yourself to pray like Jesus teaches us to pray. Remember, God wants to be the focus. God wants to be the center. And we get access to him through Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Yevhimam erder Jesus Christos ishnorka. Horas zosera. Yev sor pokvoin harataksutuna. Mer amnun hedala. And now may the God who welcomes us into his presence, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may he hear your prayers, may he receive your worship, and may he surprise you this week. Amen.